Are you weird? Do you like spooky? Do your references always get a side eye from your parents, siblings, and best friends? Welcome home. Welcome home to the international podcast sensation Spine Chillers and Serial Killers, a show where three friends, Bex, Tash, and Evan, talk about true crime and the paranormal. But that's not all. There's also laughter, randomly singing, and a slight struggle to pronounce words because, well, words are hard. So come join us for spooky, murdery stuff, and a little bit of subject wandering while we're at it. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to Spine Chillers and Serial Killers.
Yeah, I'm Amber.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot.
We are the weirdest
wisdom. I get soul like a Santa snubble. Flip the switch and let the cauldron bubble.
Hey everybody, I'm Amber.
And I'm Maddie.
And we're Witches Talking Tarot. And today we are going to be taking a trip out to the plants and talking about wildcrafting and herb collecting and foraging, good practices and safe practices and things that one should educate themselves on before starting any of these things. And hopefully maybe we can answer some of your questions or let you know about things that you need to look into that you didn't even think about, because if you never thought about it, why would you think about it? You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think the number one start of responsibility while wildcrafting and herbcrafting is do your research so you don't accidentally poison yourself or your family.
Well, and not just research, but like have manuals with pictures.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay. Not drawings.
Right.
Drawings are beautiful. They are absolutely beautiful. They are art. But sometimes it's hard to distinguish.
Right. Yes. Especially when it's something dangerous like mushrooms. Uh-huh. But also every plant out there, like for Mother's Day a couple years ago, I got this book, Midwest Medicinal Plants. Identify, harvest, and use 109 wild herbs for health and wellness. A minimum of three of these plants are in my yard at this very moment. Like nice. A minimum of three of these plants. They're native to our area. It tells you lots of good information, but it also shows you like Angelica looks like this. Mm-hmm. Poison hemlock looks a fuck ton like Angelica. Yes. So be careful because you need to know. So one of the first things to do when you're foraging is have the information with you so that in the field, because you might
be planning a
physical copy, because you might be planning to use an app on your phone or something like that.
Those aren't like, always reliable.
They're not always reliable, and neither is service out there. Mm-hmm. You may not be near a tower. You might not get any signal. You might feel like, oh, well, it'll be okay to just take some. Oh, and, you know, like, that's not.
Look, I have read plenty of horror stories. I read one recently last year where a couple and their child were going camping and they were really into foraging. This was their first time going out foraging. And guess what? They all died. They all were found with a poisonous plant in their stomach. You must be careful. Personally, look, I'm not going mushroom hunting. Not because I don't think mushroom hunting is fucking amazing, but because I don't trust myself. Because even if I have the right mushroom, I'm still going to be in the back of my head like, is this the right mushroom?
Right.
Like, that's a me thing. That's a me anxiety thing. My grandparents, they mushroom hunt every season, and I absolutely trust the mushrooms that they collect. I do. They've been doing it since they were kids in the 60s, so they have plenty of experience. Me, I don't know. Mushrooms can be scary. Like, they can.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, so you got to have confidence in yourself.
Yes,
that is
exactly
a good point. And not just have pictures, but you should have a manual that's got pictures as well as descriptions of plants. Like, should it have a square stem? Should it have a round stem? Should it have a fuzzy stem or a prickly stem? Mm-hmm. Because again, if the identification doesn't completely match, you might have a lookalike plant that might not be okay.
There's a lookalike of a morel mushroom, which is a lighter brown, closer to white, but it still looks so similar to a morel mushroom, and this one is poisonous.
Right. And like, not just with mushrooms and not just with plants, right? But like trees, you can mm-hmm. harvest things from trees in the wild, mm-hmm. but you have to know the right tree because the bark of one tree can help you with stomach issues. The bark of another tree could make you sick with diarrhea.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and we talk about safety in foraging mm-hmm. and wildcrafting and harvesting plants from the wild. Or even your own garden, honestly, because you don't want all your hard work to be for naught. Mm-hmm. You need to have a conservation mind in mind mm-hmm. while you're out in nature taking part in these plants. You want to not take all of what there is. If you come upon a patch of ghost pipe mushroom, mm-hmm. for instance, it's a very good medicinal plant. Mm-hmm. But if you take all of it, it's not going to grow anymore exactly. in that area anymore. So you should only take a very small portion, 30% or less, unless it's an invasive species.
It's an invasive plant, yes.
So if it's an invasive species, at least your state's conservation department will want you to harvest mm-hmm. as much as you want.
Right, exactly.
You know, whether you feel right or not. Like, because don't over-harvest if you don't need the plant, mm-hmm. right? Don't over-harvest because you feel obligated, right? Like, my point is not like just take everything if it's an invasive plant. My point is you don't need to be as conservative with an invasive plant mm-hmm. as you do with other plants.
But that comes with doing your research and knowing it's an invasive plant.
Exactly.
I gotta give a shout out, or not really a shout out, but I gotta mention my cousin Ariana. She's got a Facebook page called Getting Wild, just so everybody knows. She made the most amazing. She's really gotten into foraging and wildcrafting. Her and her family live out on some property that my family has owned for well over 100 years, 150 acres. And they have a cabin out there, and that's where they're living. And she goes out there and she's just foraging and looking at what she can find. Most delicious wild onion pesto. Oh my God, it was fucking amazing. We put that shit on a puff pastry and then put tomatoes on top of it. So, and goat cheese. So it was like a goat cheese puff pastry, wild onion pesto, but she also made stinging nettle pesto, which is amazing.
I've heard it's so good.
Oh, it is. It is so good. She has so much stinging nettle out there. And then you've got what we call Sheepshire, but I think it's called Warslow, I don't know. It's sour grass and it's fucking delicious. It's so good.
I just know, like, I'm excited. So everybody probably, especially if you are in the United States, you probably have henpecked and red nettle or purple red dead nettle or purple dead nettle. Uh-huh. It's the same plant. Some people call it red, some people call it purple. It's the same thing. They're both in the mint family, but like, you can make a salad out of the weeds in your yard. Like, literally.
Sorry, guys. I'm just, like, looking at the lighting right now.
Right? I was thinking about that. Because here's a thing that we can try.
We were just talking about this before this episode. But while you're doing that, there are so many plants you can get in your yard, even if you live in town. Like Amber said, purple or red dead nettle. There's also clover. Wild
dandelions
grows everywhere. Wild and dandelions. Dandelion greens and flowers. But don't take them all because they feed the pollinators. And that's another thing. When collecting, you don't want to take it all because it won't grow there again. But also, we don't want to take from nature when nature needs it. Like, the pollinators need the clover and the purple dead nettle and the dandelion.
Right. And like, the purple dead nettle and the dandelions are some of the earliest food sources mm-hmm. that are available to these animals. Uh-huh. But that's why 30% or less is a good number, because you're taking an amount that you can utilize for your own home apothecary. But at the same time, you're not taking so much that the plant can't repopulate its space. I can't think of the word right now. But also, like Maddie said, you're leaving for the pollinators, and you're leaving not just for the pollinators, but later, after all that pollen's gone, other things are going to come up and eat the greens, like deer mm-hmm. and other animals that live in the forested areas. So, and speaking of, when you're out in nature wildcrafting, a very important, sorry, I'm just like trying to get out of the light, you know what I mean? Because like there's only, yeah. But when you're out in nature, some places don't have safe soil. So you don't want to wildcraft from a place that used to have a factory nearby where there could be heavy metals or other contaminants in the soil. You don't want to wildcraft in an area that's too close to a roadway because it's going to have contaminants from the vehicles that are like throwing off either motor oil and things like that, or just like when we salt for bad weather, that salt's not good for the plants. It's not good for the ecosystem. So you don't want to eat or ingest tea or use topical salves or washes from plants that are contaminated by these contaminants in the soil. Mm-hmm. Can I say contaminants another time in a sentence? No. Just like I could, there's not really, because it might not be a toxin, but it can still be contaminated by something you don't want to ingest. So like, I don't want somebody to like discount the advice because they're like, oh, well, it's not toxic metals. It's fine. Well, it can still be contaminated and not good for your body, which the whole point of wildcrafting is to help your own, whether it's your own diet, like placing greens that you'd buy in a store with greens that you foraged, or your herb cabinet, your home apothecary, you know, either way, these are for your body's health. You don't want to be putting things in that have been in soil that's not good for you.
So something that I think is also very important, and something very important when it comes to wildcrafting and herb crafting and things like that, is to take care of yourself while you're out there. Okay. Ticks carry diseases.
Well, you mentioned stinging nettle. That will... It's called stinging nettle for a reason.
Oh, that'll burn your
shit. You gotta have gloves because it'll sting you.
Oh, yeah. They called it stinging weed. Yeah. They didn't know it was stinging nettle. They just called it stinging weed because it fucking stings. But yeah, so if you're going to be doing something, touching something like that, always bring gloves.
When you're going out in nature, you should always be prepared. A, you should always be prepared for yourself. You should always be prepared to leave it better than you find it.
Yes.
And part of being able to leave it better than you find it is being prepared on your own. So if you do come into, you know, you stumble upon an area that's just full of
poison ivy,
you've been properly prepared yourself in whatever way that is, because when you're going into the woods, any number of things can happen. So you should always have a couple granola bars or something like that on
water.
You should have water on you. Exactly. You should have, you know, proper attire for the weather. You don't want to be out foraging in high grass and cut off shorts because you could wind up with ticks. You could wind up with other bug bites. If you're in high grasses, there's snakes.
Oh, God. I didn't even fucking think about that.
Right? And, but also high grasses, a lot of them have like little burrs and stuff that'll like cut your legs and things like that if you're moving swiftly through. So like there's a lot of things to consider when you are out in nature, whether it's for foraging, harvesting things, wildcrafting, whatever you want to call it, which these are all different things, but they can overlap.
Right.
But there's also just hiking in nature.
Overlapping.
Yeah. But also you can be out hiking in nature. You should still be prepared.
I think, you know, everybody, like, specifically people like in our craft and with a natural lifestyle, you know, in mind, we're not big fans of bug sprays. That doesn't mean you can be unprepared. You can create your own bug spray with essential oils that include citronella.
Well, and you can say there are certain colors that bugs are attracted to. So if you don't wear those colors, you're less likely to be harassed by bees and wasps. You're less likely to have ticks and things come up to you. But also, like, for ticks, right? Because you mentioned ticks, so I keep thinking about it. There's certain things you can do. You wear high socks with your pants tucked in so the ticks can't really get in at you because you're dressed appropriately. You want to be appropriate for not just the, like, the current weather, but you should always have like something with you in case you go out further than you thought, the weather changes, something like that. You're not left in a bad spot. And in case you're new here, guys, this is how these episodes always go. Yeah, there is a point, but we're also going to talk about other things that may seem like common sense to somebody, and somebody else may have never thought of it, so it's worth saying out loud.
Right.
And that is the only reason I'm saying it out loud, because I would imagine most of our regular listeners are individuals that are like, well, duh, you're going to take water out with you. You're going to dress appropriately for what you're going outside to do. But also not everybody knows that. Not everybody thinks about that. Some people are exploring a new kind of lifestyle.
There's city slickers out there.
Yes.
Exactly. Lack of a better word.
Right. Yeah. Like not everybody knows these things. Not everybody thinks about these things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like not everybody understands that high grass generally is
well, and if you're going through, if you're going during a certain season, sometimes you should wear bright colors. Hunting season.
Yeah.
If you're going out in the woods during hunting season, you want people to see you.
And you want to be noisy. Yeah. Actually, no matter what, when you go into
you
the
said
woods,
that, and
you
I'm
want
like,
to be noisy.
And then I'm like, no, you don't want to get shot. You want to be noisy. Fuck the hunters. They're going to be mad that you're
well,
noisy.
It's not just that, but if you're going out in bear country, if you're noisy, you're going to scatter off any bear that might be out there that you could accidentally have an encounter with. More importantly, you might scare off the young of any animal that you might come upon, because when you come upon an animal's young, they are going to be more aggressive than they would be if they weren't with their young.
Uh-huh.
So like these are just like it's not even self-preservation necessarily, it's just general safety. Uh-huh. Because if you are a noisy human, mm-hmm. animals don't want to come near you and hunters aren't going to be ready to shoot at you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah, like seriously, like when it's really, really dark at the river and I'm sitting there and the stars haven't come out yet and it's really, really dark, I start just being loud and obnoxious and saying, I'm a noisy human making human noises.
So pulling the parent trap. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. She's got she's banging the fucking sticks together. And they're like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't want the mountain lions to get me.
But look,
seriously.
When you've had a black bear that's bigger than your 6'5" husband that is like this far away from you, you just think about it differently. Okay, guys? Like, literally, I'll lean in this way so you can see my hand nod off screen. That's how far away it was. And now I'm different.
Where do you guys go? Oh, well, I guess you don't want to tell anybody.
We go out in the middle of nowhere on the Missouri River. It's on like reservation.
It's not anywhere near here. Like
it's like 3 hours.
3 hours. Okay.
It's like literally there's no electricity around. Mm-hmm. There's no residences around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as loud as I want to be during certain things.
You don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about anything. Except when a bear comes into your camp.
I need to go visit I need to go out there. My mom just went out there.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's beautiful and I love it. I'm just like, I behave differently. Like, so I'm definitely a person who's like, be quiet when you're in nature so you can enjoy the sounds of nature. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about being too quiet in nature is you might accidentally scare something that, like, if you're out foraging, like, mm-hmm. if you're quietly out foraging for morel mushrooms or you're looking for turkey tail on trees and you're very quiet and you're just looking and you're lost in your own little world, and then you come upon something that lives there,
mm-hmm.
that's just as unsafe as eating an unsafe mushroom, you know?
And also unsafe.
It's something I think about.
Don't drink the water. And I'm saying that.
Don't drink and leave your shit out.
If you're going to drink the water, boil it. But I'm not telling you to do that. Do your own research. I don't recommend.
Right. Because like also read like news and stuff. Excuse me. I'm so sorry.
It's very sad.
So sorry.
No, it's very sad that we have to say that because we've destroyed our planet to where we can't drink the water.
Right. Yeah.
But
because
don't
like,
drink the water.
Don't drink the water. Like right now in the area we are, mm-hmm. like our local water, there was an advisory that was put out about like the stuff in the parks and stuff. Like don't get in it because of some kind of bacteria or algae that
they
identified.
Fucking brain eating amoebas. That's even if you go swimming
disgusting.
And get it in your nose
disgusting.
Or in your mouth, and it's just it's so
what have we done?
Literally.
Sorry.
But don't drink the water if you come across a stream, even if it's ice cold and a spring. I don't think it's worth the risk, personally, unless you know the spring that you're drinking from. I'm sure you've probably done it, Amber.
Yeah, we are different people.
I'm not doing that. I
Corey will drink like straight out of a riverway that he thinks is cleanish. I will only do it at like what you're talking about, where it's a fresh out of the wall of the world spring. Mm-hmm. I will do that. But that's as close as he can get.
I'm sure I probably have.
Yeah. Sometimes like you swim in like the river or the lake and like it gets on your face and you get it in your mouth and you swallow it by accident.
Right.
I hate that, but I've done it.
Oh, I mean, everybody. I'm sure everybody's done it. Like on the property.
But I'm with Maddie on boiling, except for the out of the spring. I am the person who will drink it straight out of the spring.
On the property that we have a spring that comes out.
Don't shit in the water.
From two, well, it comes from two trees and it's a running well and it is the iciest, coldest water I've ever felt. And I still am not going to drink it. I'm sure Ariana has. Ariana's probably done it 1,000 times. I have anxiety, and that prevents me from doing things that is probably safe. But if I'm going to sit there and be a hypochondriac for 3 or 4 days until I'm like, okay, enough time has passed, I don't have a brain-eating amoeba, I'm not going to let myself go through that. That's my self-care.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, again, we're different people because, like, I have anxiety lots of things. However, I have held for... I can't even say how long. I don't know how long I've had the mental, like the hippie mentality of like, if you introduce your body to these bacteria and these things, that it's better for you. Mm-hmm. That's just what I have believed for the longest fucking longest time. And so like, there are certain degrees of like, I'm going to stress over a lot of things. I'm going to wind up hyperventilating over mm-hmm. a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not over the drinking out of the spring. If I drink straight from a river, like, you know, we watch Naked and Afraid sometimes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's that idiot who's like, oh, no, I'm real thirsty. And you're like,
let me just say, it could very well be safe to drink out of spring. Obviously, somebody's sitting here who's done it multiple times. I'm not saying it's not safe.
Yeah.
But for liability's sake, don't drink out of it.
Thanks.
I would drink out of it boiled.
Hence Amber said, I've done it. Yeah. I didn't say you should. I said, I have. You make your own decisions because if you're listening to us, you're most likely an adult based on the demographics that are available to us.
I do love the water. It feels so wonderful. Oh, I need to go out there because I did a cleansing at this spring, and it was so refreshing. It was so cold, obviously, but the coldness of the water almost brought its own cleansing with it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
Cleansing at water that has come straight from the earth mm-hmm. is, it somehow hits different.
It does. Like, oh, like absolutely. It's percent. Like taking a drink of ass cold water on a hot day.
Yeah.
It just hits different.
It does. It's different and it's so nice. I mean, like, which is why, you know, we always talk about taking care of nature because like these things are true treasures mm-hmm. that we have still left to us. And
we don't have very many.
Left we don't have very many. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Because that's why it's so important when we're out in nature wildcrafting mm-hmm. that we do it responsibly and respectfully, right? So like,
don't carve your name into a tree.
Don't carve your name into a tree. Don't take all of a plant, but also do your research beforehand, like Maddie said, but there's a lot of different things that go into this research. And one thing is not just know what plant you want mm-hmm. to look for, not just know what it is you're going after, right? Mm-hmm. But do have a plan probably to start if you're going to be actually wildcrafting. Mm-hmm. But read about not just the plant, not just what it can do, what you want from it. Read what parts are valuable because there's no point in harvesting an entire fucking plant mm-hmm. where only the flower buds are something you can do something. Why bother mm-hmm. taking this whole plant? Because even when it doesn't have the flowers that are valuable to us or valuable to the pollinators, mm-hmm. that plant is still creating oxygen by, you know, existing. It's also a sentient life force mm-hmm. that is part of a community, that if you don't need the roots and the plant itself and you leave it, it gets to stay a part of that living, thriving community that you are going to for your own sustenance of some kind, which is why you've chosen to wildcraft there. So respect the plant enough to mm-hmm. only harvest what's needed, and to only harvest what's needed, you have to do your research and know what's valuable in that plant. Some things it's the whole plant. Some things it's only what's above ground, so the roots mean nothing. And a lot of plants, if you leave the roots, they'll regrow the plant.
Well, and another thing is, look at where your region is. I don't know if that makes fucking sense, if that came out correctly.
Well, for your growing region?
Yes, exactly. Like, we're in the Ozarks, so we're going to be looking at Ozark plants and Midwestern plants.
Right.
Let's say you're in Portland. Yeah. You're Portland, Oregon, that is. You're going to be looking at plants in the Pacific Northwest.
And if you're in Portland, Maine, you'll be looking at plants in the Northeast. Sorry, you said Portland.
No, I had just distinguished because I didn't even realize that there was a Portland in Maine until I was reading my book, and I was like, oh shit, I thought they meant Portland, Oregon. They said Portland, Maine. So I'm like, oh shit, there's one on each coast.
Well, I was just happening to be looking because, you know, we're going to Salem this summer, Corey and I, and I was looking at the map because he's like, we're trying to decide about where we're staying and blah, blah, blah. Because part of it's already ordained and part of it is not yet.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, well, we could go up to Maine, because he's like, well, he's never been to the Northeast. I used to live up there, right? I've been to Maine. I've been, I think, almost every state in the Northeast, because so many of them are just like crammed together.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And I've been to all the big ones up there. So I'm pretty sure I've been to all the little ones, too. So I lived in Delaware. When you're in Delaware, you go to Maryland all the fucking time and New Jersey. Anyway, shout out to Full Circle Pod. They're in New Jersey. I don't know much else about New Jersey. Anyway, but I was just like looking at like the bottom part of Maine, and Portland was there. And I was like, I forgot Maine had a Portland.
Right.
And he said Portland. I was like, I gotta say the other
Oregon. Yes.
Because they're like clear on the other side.
Right. They really are. So they
like
probably have different, you know, plants and shit.
Yeah. And absolutely. Like when you're doing your research, do limit it, or at least start it in the region in which you are located. Because otherwise it's going to be hard to wildcraft and harvest natural plants. You can grow these things where you are, perhaps. However, it's so good to plant native plants when you're planting plants in your area that, like, you shouldn't. So, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just saying, like, people are pushing for native plants hardcore, like Minnesota. High five, Minnesota. I don't have many reasons ever to shout out Minnesota.
Oh, it's such a random like state.
It is, but they are encouraging possibly with monetary incentive to stop having lawns and plant things for pollinators.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
Plant native plants. And yes. So like they want you to rewild your yard in Minnesota. And I hope Missouri gets on board with that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, my husband finally decided he just absolutely had to mow, and it made me
my
sad.
Husband mowed yesterday.
Mine too.
Oh, it must have been the weather. It really bothered me because I was trying so hard to wait until May.
You too. I was like, I just want, dude. I was just like, waiting for him. I wanted him to just be so tired and busy with other things that he wouldn't think about it. But our neighbors have started mowing.
Yes. And I was trying so hard to wait till May. They say wait till May, but it's the end of April. I got probably further than I have before.
We'll get there.
And the backyard isn't mowed yet. But the backyard doesn't really need mowed as much as the front yard. The backyard is just covered in trees, so the grass is really light. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we still got some going, but he wants to mow that next week.
I don't know if he mowed the backyard. He probably did. I haven't been out there because my hip. So because I would have gone out to see all my little babies that is growing. I got so many sprouts. I got so many volunteer tomatoes. I'm so happy. Like, I have so many volunteer tomatoes. It's crazy.
Is there anything else you want to say about wildcrafting while we're on here?
Yes. We covered not at the roadways, right?
Yes. Not at the roadways. We covered not drinking the water, being responsible and bringing things, bug spray, ticks.
Being responsible, and if you're going to wildcraft out in nature, definitely bring with you not only some way to take your items home so that you can properly process them, but you're going to want to bring things with you so that you can label them safely. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are kind of overconfident when we feel familiar with the thing, and we go, oh, I'll remember later, or I'll know the difference
literally done that. Have you done that with your herb cabinet? Because I have done that with my herb cabinet. I'm like, I don't need to label this. This is motherfucking lemongrass. And then I'm like,
then you gotta taste it and smell it. Right. And hope that
that's only because it's in the herb cabinet and it's edible.
Right. Yeah. Because like if it was with wildcrafted things, I'd just have to throw out what I wildcrafted, which is a complete waste, which is what, like, this episode is kind of to help avoid waste. So being prepared is also not just wearing the right stuff, making sure you're prepared for bugs, food, weather changes, these kinds of things, but be prepared for the things that you're harvesting, because if you're living a spiritual life, I'm not telling you how to be spiritual, but if you're living a spiritual life, presumably these items are going to be used for your health or for your magic or for both. Wouldn't you think that the benefit they're going to bring you, whether it's your health, your magic, your mentality, whatever, if you're respectfully harvesting them and respectfully taking care of that plant from the first moment that you encounter it versus treating it like an object that doesn't really matter, and if you have to throw it away because you didn't harvest it right or label it right, that it's no big deal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that respectful piece comes in by not wasting it, by labeling it appropriately so that you don't harvest plants for absolutely no reason, because they're just going to go in your compost or in your trash because you didn't do what you needed to in the first place. And I speak this from a place of experience. I speak this from a place of having harvested something that never got utilized because it wasn't taken care of properly to be utilized. Because once you don't take care of it properly, are you really going to make a tea out of it? You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, because that's something you're drinking. Are you really going to? So that's just like definitely one of the things that I, again, speak to from personal experience, that hopefully I can save somebody else the headache or heartache of not having really fully thought it through, you know?
Right.
Because like we talked about in the Pandora's Box episode, there's Prometheus and there's Epimetheus. There's forethought and there's afterthought. And if you don't use enough forethought, afterthought ain't going to save you.
I think that's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think so too.
All right. Thank you for staying with, I don't know where the fuck you're
watching us on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yes. If you're watching, if you're listening on any podcast platform, absolutely like and subscribe, comment, let us know what you think about the show. And thank you so much, Death by DVD.
Melissa.
Victoria.
And Pam.
Yes. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Witches Talking Tarot.
And we're on the X at Classiest Witches.
Thanks for coming to sit with us for a spell.
Sam.
Wow.
Hello, Twisted Humans. Do you find yourself wanting to know more about the latest murder, conspiracy, cult, or haunting?
Then this is the podcast for you.
In 1952, there was a record high of UFOs reported. 1,500 sightings.
There has been evidence of human sacrifice, devil worship, and it is haunted by more spirits than can be counted.
A family of two adults and two kids reportedly saw a giant flying thing
with glowing red eyes. And meanwhile, the family's nanny that helped Veronica to care for her and Lucian's children was found bludgeoned to death in the basement of their family home.
I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sierra. And this is Twisted and Uncorked.